the notion was that the chief information officer was supposed to be a strategic partner at the highest level of the organization, looking at ways to apply technology to the business processes and the mission-related processes of the organization. They wouldn't necessarily dive into the nitty-gritty of the technology. I mean, if somebody lost a PC, it wasn't the CIO that you'd call. The CIO was supposed to be a high-level strategic partner who understood the agency's mission, who understood the business of the agency, and would look to apply technology in a way that would create measurable improvements in either mission performance or cost reduction or qualitative improvements in service delivery.
And in DOD, technology touches, I mean, there's particularly now, even, what are we, more than almost 18 years past that legislation, past Clinger-Cohen, the technology even more ingrained in everything that happens.
Yeah, that's right. You've got embedded technology, which I think everybody seems to, think is you look at technology that's embedded as part of a weapon system. That seems to be going pretty well because, obviously, weapon systems typically have natural proponents, right? When you start looking at business systems, all the rules of Machiavelli apply here. the hardest thing to do is to create a new order of things. You start looking at tweaking existing business processes, which means you're looking at people's jobs, you're looking at business processes that have always been a certain way, and somebody may own a system that currently exists that performs a particular function. And when you start going in and you start looking at those business-related systems or those mission-related systems, then you're in a situation where, not only Machiavelli, but Newtonian physics applies. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And in some cases, it's not equal. It's pretty bad when you start messing with existing functions. And the CIO is right in the middle of that.
And so what we've always, the way that it's been for a number of years is you have a deputy assistant secretary, you have an assistant secretary of defense for information management, integration, and technology. That was linked up with the chief information officer. It ended up being this big, long title. And I think separating out the two. Is this something that's real or is it just a reorg of an org chart?
Well, that remains to be seen. I don't know that there's a perfect way to accomplish the mission. The important thing is take a look at the law and figure out what's required in statute and then apply it to the department. So I don't really think it matters the title of the person or where that person necessarily sits, provided they are a strategic partner at the highest level of the organization. That is, regular audiences, regular interaction with both the secretary and the deputy secretary, as well as, sitting as an equal at the table with the CFO. And that is a really difficult thing to achieve because, let's face it, money rules. It's the golden rule definitely applies in federal agencies. But the important thing is to make sure that that person is performing that strategic role where they're really looking at ways to apply technologies to transform business processes and mission processes and adding value to the department. And I think part of the frustration, the reason why we're rearranging some of the deck chairs here, if you will, is because I think that they've looked at that function and felt like it hasn't achieved its potential. And this is, out of the Section 804 report that the Defense Science Board put out. I think it highlighted some of the deficiencies. And that report, not surprisingly, sort of pitted NII, toe-to-toe with AT&L. And AT&L, in my opinion, has always sort of been hungry for that role, if you will, that CIO role, going back to the days of Clinger-Cohen when we put it in law. And that's not to say that it doesn't belong there or does belong there. I just think there are some big organizational questions and some big cultural questions that remain on the table that are never going to get addressed. And I think they kind of went after some low-hanging fruit, if you will, or a target of NII, which didn't necessarily have a ton of proponents within the department, because they're usually looking over somebody's shoulder, and face it, that's not exactly a popular role.
I had a DOD CIO tell me years ago that it's the shooters versus the geeks, and oftentimes it's DOD and the shooters end up not winning, but that's where a lot of the folks end up being more aligned with that, and so technology gets pushed a little bit to the side.
Yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that. I mean, there are plenty of geeks that are roaming around in the halls of the shooters, and it's not an either or. I mean, in fact, as we've gone over the years, it's been more and more blended. As things like logistics systems become part of embedded weapon systems, you know, autonomic logistics and things like that, and then what are those touch points with the business systems on the back end, and how does that translate into you know, sort of the more traditional business systems, and understanding those touch points are absolutely critical. So that's actually, I think we're getting more and more away from that. I think it's getting more and more blended, and the lines are getting blurry, which may, in fact, be one of the reasons why you see this particular move. I'm not arguing whether it's the right move or it's the wrong move. What I'm suggesting is that you still need to have a capital planning and investment control process. You still have to have a governance process, and you still have to be asking that fundamental question, which is, you know, is this particular system achieving measurable improvements in mission performance or business performance? Is it saving us money? Are we, you know, what are the qualitative measurements around this? And I don't mean to bureaucratize it at all. I mean, if you go back and you really blend these systems, these management systems together, you would be making these decisions based on the data, the underlying data. It would be really easy to pull together a business case because you'd have that data at your hand. The problem is, right now, you're not collecting performance information on your existing underlying systems, your business-related systems. And as a consequence, I don't think we do that enough. As a consequence, we don't necessarily know, you know, if those systems are operating properly or if they can be significantly improved, or how we just tend to throw a lot of technology at stuff. And in some cases, you know, we can go back after the fact and say that achieved some benefit. But in a lot of cases, we simply don't know.
So if you were the czar and you were able to organize things, you were the defense secretary, you were able to organize things, what's the most effective way to do this that you do get measurable results from the investments that you're making?
I would go back to square one, and I know that's not
do over
realistic, but I always apply this, you know, sort of holistic hill thinking to some of the things that I'm looking at. But I would go back to fundamental priorities, sort of the priorities that have been laid out in things like, you know, and this is going back a ways, you won't find this anywhere now, but, you know, go back to Joint Vision 2020 and what were the things that we were supposed to prioritize there, go to the QDR, and fundamentally look at the Quaternional Defense Review and say, okay, these are the priorities that we've laid out. How can we organize as a department within the Office of the Secretary to achieve these goals? And I think there's an easy, you know, sort of cop-out answer to that, if you will, which is, well, we all touch these priorities. These are the priorities that were laid out in the QDR. But I think if you looked at it from an organizational and a cultural perspective, there are ways to reorganize the department to really focus on what you say the priorities are and what you say the investments need to be going forward.
Defense officials saying that this actually elevates the role of the CIO. By moving it and then giving it direct, they say it'll have that the CIO position will have direct report to the secretary.
Yeah, I've read that, but I haven't seen anything in writing that sort of outlines where that CIO sits and what the role is and who that person is. Now, like I said at the beginning, I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a right answer or a wrong answer to any of these things. I think they're just different ways to accomplish the task. If they go back and they look at what the fundamental objectives are for Cleaner Cohen, and frankly, you know, we haven't necessarily done a very good job as a government in implementing those tenets and those requirements. But if you go back and you take a look at the legislation and you take a look at the corresponding report language, I think that's excellent guidance for how to actually implement this. And if you look at some of the other guidance that's come out over time, particularly as it relates to CPIC processes like GAO's ITIM report, and apply that to the department systematically, I think you'd find that not only would you be making really sound strategic-related IT decisions, but you'd achieve the benefits and the measurements that have been so long promised and so little realized.
But for me, it's a little bit depressing that this is a conversation we're having, what is it, 15, 18 years after the Clinger-Cohen Act, after this position was created. It seems almost odd to me that we're still having this kind of discussion.
Yeah, it does. And I think there are lots of different reasons for it. I think, you know, there were some hiccups out of the gate with the legislation and implementing it. You know, and it's probably to the point now where things have matured and the culture has in some ways sort of been an antibody to the change that we take a real hard look at, you know, do we need to restate these tenants, and do we need to be thinking about is this the right structure? Because I think we started a path where, you know, it sort of beat the heck out of really making a difference, where we started putting CXOs everywhere and declaring victory. And I think that happened with the CIO position. I think all the agencies, you know, stood up these CIOs, and I know because I was a deputy CIO at DOD, you know, they stood up the positions, and then they didn't necessarily have the right folks on the bus. They didn't necessarily have the right resources and skill sets at the table. And that's not an indictment of anybody. It's just fact. It just this is the way it is. And folks who didn't necessarily understand the role in very senior positions, and they weren't strategists. They didn't have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to go in there and sit down next to the CFO and sit down next to the deputy secretary and say, you know, I happen to notice that we're doing, you know, we're buying this particular system, and it's not necessarily, you know, it doesn't necessarily fit with our priorities, yet we're spending tens of millions of dollars on it. Those conversations were not had early in the process. And if they were, they were typically shut down, and, you know, for cultural reasons and other reasons. And it is a little disconcerting that we're having this discussion, but, you know, at least we're talking about it now. I think we had a decade where folks were just off sort of pretending like they were doing, and stuff really wasn't getting done to the extent that it could have been.